God bless you. It's great to be with you today, and I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. I'd like to start with something funny. I heard about this burglar that broke into a house one night. Just as he was stealing the stereo, he heard a voice saying, "Jesus is watching you." He froze in his tracks and shined his flashlight over in the corner and saw a parrot. He said, "Did you say that to me?" The parrot said, "Yes, I'm just trying to warn you." The burglar said, "Warn me? What are you talking about? Who are you?" The parrot said, "My name is Moses." Burglar kind of laughed and said, "What kind of crazy people would name a parrot Moses?" The parrot said, "The same kind of people that would name a 150-pound Rottweiler Jesus." All right, y'all, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about you are worthy. It's easy to go through life feeling like we don't measure up. We focus on our flaws and weaknesses and how we should be further along. We let guilt and condemnation weigh us down. Or we've been through disappointments. Dreams haven't worked out. People have done us wrong. It's opened the door to insecurity and low self-esteem. The enemy uses these things to try to steal our sense of value. He'll whisper, "You don't deserve to be blessed. Look at the mistakes you've made. You're not valuable. Look at the family you come from. You're not attractive. Look how beautiful your coworker is." He'd love for you to believe the lie that you're not worthy. But here's the key. Your worth is not based on what you have, what family you come from, or how perfectly you live. Your worth is based on the fact that you're a child of the Most High God. You are worthy not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. He made you worthy. God created you in His own image. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. He crowned you with favor. He calls you a masterpiece. Now don't let how people treat you determine your worth. Don't let what someone said or how they make you feel cause you to live inferior. They don't determine your value. They didn't breathe life into you. They didn't choose you before you were formed in your mother's womb. They can't make you feel inferior unless you give them permission. Quit giving it to them. You have the fingerprints of God all over you. He calls you His prized possession, one of a kind, fearfully and wonderfully made. But sometimes we let our weaknesses and areas we need to improve in cause us to feel unworthy. We go around down on ourselves, thinking once we get it all together, then we can feel good about who we are. But your worth is not based on your performance. There's nothing you can do to make you more valuable. If I work harder, be more disciplined, pray longer, spend more time with my children, then I'll deserve to be blessed. Well, that's all good. That's developing character, but that's not affecting your worth. It's not making you more valuable. Your value comes from your Creator. Don't go through life living performance-based, trying to earn your worth, and earn your value. The problem is, you'll never measure up. We all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. Take the pressure off. You don't have to work for it, just receive it. I am worthy, I am valuable, I've been approved by Almighty God. Every time you say that, something powerful happens. You're getting stronger, more confident. Your self-esteem is increasing. Forces of darkness cannot stay when you know you are worthy. Not you're going to be. Joel, when I control my temper better, when I quit saying things I shouldn't, when I get in shape, when my boss starts respecting me, then I'll feel good about myself. No, how about right now believing that you're worthy, that you're forgiven, redeemed, restored, one of a kind? Those are the thoughts that need to be playing in your mind throughout the day. Not guilt, shame, I'm not up to par. Why can't I perform better? These people at work look down on me. You can't stop all that, but you can decide what you're going to dwell on. Tune all that out and get in agreement with God. You are worthy. You are valuable. You deserve to be blessed. You deserve to live an abundant, victorious, healthy, productive, favor-filled life. A friend of mine was raised in a very dysfunctional home. His father was an alcoholic, his mother, and he would become violent. They lived in government housing. His mother was on drugs. There was always fighting and conflict in the house. He was told that he would never amount to anything. He didn't know any better. He believed it. He grew up with this sense of shame and unworthiness, thinking, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve anything. He thought it was his fault, that he was to blame. The enemy loves to twist things. He'll use other people's dysfunction to try to convince you that you're the problem. You're not up to par. If you were better, this wouldn't have happened. Don't believe those lies. You are not responsible for their dysfunction. Don't start taking the blame for something that doesn't have anything to do with you. They have issues they haven't dealt with. They're struggling with things to overcome. You can't let that shame and unworthiness get off on you. In his 20s, this young man left home and was living in his car. He had a great imagination. He was extremely creative, knew how to tell stories. He knew that God had given him that gift, but everything said, you don't deserve to be blessed. You don't come from a good family. You come from dysfunction and abuse. He's working at a fast food restaurant, barely making it, thinking that's all he deserved. One day he flipped on the television and he heard me talking about how your value is not based on how people treat us and how we perform, and you know, not even on how good we perform. It was like a light went off on the inside. A stronghold was broken. Instead of having this defeated mindset, I'm lacking, I'm limited, I'm at a disadvantage, he started reprogramming his mind. All through the day, I am worthy, I am valuable, I am a one of a kind. I deserve to be successful. I'm a child of the Most High God. You have to give yourself permission to be blessed. He put his shoulders back and started carrying himself differently. He began to pray bold prayers and expect God's favor. Today, he's incredibly successful in the entertainment industry. God has done more than he ever imagined. Maybe like him, you've been in environments that you've let lessen your sense of value. Now there's shame, guilt, inferiority. You don't feel like you deserve to be blessed. You have negative baggage in your family line. None of that has changed your value. No matter what people have done, you are still a masterpiece. No matter who walked away, you are still a prized possession. No matter how far off course you've gotten, you still have the fingerprints of God all over you. Don't go through life with the wrong recording playing in your mind. I'm damaged. I'm not good enough. I'm lacking. No, change that recording. You are worthy. You are valuable. God handpicked you. He breathed his life into you. Now it's up to you to receive your worth, receive your value. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. Just receive it. This is what faith is all about. I was in someone's home a few years ago, and they had all these paintings on the wall. I don't know a lot about art, but they didn't look very impressive to me. In fact, some of them looked like they were drawn by children. Real modern and abstract paint thrown here and there. Later that evening, the man told me how for just one of those paintings, he had paid over $1 million. I looked at it again, thought, wow, that is beautiful, isn't it? It was an original Picasso, painted by the famous artist Pablo Picasso. What dawned on me that day was it's not so much what the painting looks like, it's who the painter is. The picture gets its value from its creator. Someone could have copied that painting, tried to sell it, they wouldn't have gotten a fraction of the price. It was valuable because Pablo Picasso put his fingerprints on it. It's the same way with us. Our value doesn't come from what we look like, what we do, how successful we are or aren't. Our value comes from the fact Almighty God is our painter. Ephesians 2 says, you are God's masterpiece. You didn't come off an assembly line. You weren't mass produced. When God made you, he threw away the mold. 8 billion people on the planet, and no one has your fingerprints. You are one of a kind, a designer's original. It'd be great to have a Picasso, a Rembrandt, a Michelangelo painting. That would be impressive. But imagine having the artist that flung stars into space, that spoke worlds into existence, that created the universe. That's who designed you. That's why you're worthy. That's why you can put your shoulders back and expect good things. But I wonder how God must feel after creating us a masterpiece when we go around thinking we're unworthy. I'm just average Joel. I got these flaws. That's why I'm down on myself. I've had setbacks. People didn't keep their word. I'm damaged. I'm inferior. None of that changed your value. That Picasso painting is valuable in that nice home and is valuable in a rundown apartment. The environment doesn't change its value. People may not recognize it. I didn't, but that didn't change its worth. Other people may not see your value. They may try to discount you, make you feel less than. The only way that will stop you is if you let them convince you that you're not valuable. Tune all that out. Here's what God says about you. You are wonderfully made. You are talented. You are attractive. You are competent. You are blessed. You are victorious. Now that's good for me to speak it over you, build your faith. But something more powerful happens when you speak it. When you say it long enough, it will get down in your spirit and become a reality. All through the day, even if it's under your breath, I am worthy, I am valuable, I am a masterpiece, I am a child of the Most High God. There's a young man in the scripture named Mephibosheth. He was the grandson of King Saul. His father was Jonathan, David's best friend. Mephibosheth had been born into royalty, destined to one day take the throne. But when he was 5 years old, his father and grandfather were killed in a battle on the same day. The opposing army headed into town to try to finish off all of Saul's family. When Mephibosheth's maid grabbed him and took off running as fast as she could to try to hide him. As she's going down the stairs, she tripped and fell. Mephibosheth hit the ground so hard that he broke both of his legs and became crippled. He never walked again. Sometimes well-meaning people can drop us. This maid was trying to do the right thing. She had good intentions, but her mistake cost him his mobility. Like Mephibosheth, someone may have dropped you, put you at a disadvantage. They didn't mean to. They would take it back if they could, but they tripped and now you struggle with an addiction. They tripped. They didn't protect you, nurture you, and keep their word. And now you struggle with low self-esteem or with your sense of worth. Well, Mephibosheth ended up living in a place called Lodabar. It was one of the poorest, most rundown cities of that day. Here he was the grandson of the king. He had grown up in the palace. Now he was living in the slums, barely surviving. Here's a key. Your location doesn't change your value. He was living in Lodabar, but he was still royalty. You may feel like you're in Lodabar. Things have come against you. Circumstances you don't understand. But nothing has lessened your value. No person that did you wrong. No bad break. No mistake you made. You are still a child of the Most High. You are still worthy. You still have a purpose to fulfill. Yes, they dropped you, but they didn't stop your destiny. You may be in Lodabar, but don't let Lodabar get in you. That's where you are. It is not who you are. God sees these times where you were put at a disadvantage, times you were left out, the times people manipulated things at work to get their way. The enemy loves to use those things to make you feel unworthy, like you don't deserve to be blessed. This is when you have to take control of your thought life. You can't be passive and let the negative play. You have to remind yourself who you are. If you don't tell yourself who you are, the enemy will tell you who you are. All through the day, I am worthy. I am valuable. I have royal blood in my veins. My location didn't change my identity. I'm still a child of the Most High. His plans for me are still good to give me a future, to prosper me. But years went by, and I'm sure Mephibosheth thought that God had forgotten about him. He was satisfied living in Lodabar. He thought that was his destiny, but God wasn't satisfied. God loves you too much to let you live below who you were created to be. One day out of the blue, King David said to his men, "Is there anyone from the house of Saul still alive so I can show kindness to them?" This is how amazing God is. Saul spent years trying to kill David. He made David's life miserable, where he had to live on the run. You would think the last person David would think about doing good for would be Saul's family. But God is not going to leave you in Lodabar. Lodabar is temporary. The injustice, the sickness, the trouble is not how your story ends. You're coming out of Lodabar. You don't belong there. You have royal blood. You have a crown of favor. You are worthy, you are valuable, and you are destined to overcome. Well, David's men told him that Jonathan had a son that was still alive, but he was crippled living in the slums of Lodabar. David didn't think twice. He said, "Go find him and bring him to the palace." When the king's men came into the slums, everyone was talking. There was this buzz. What's going on? What are they doing here? Mephibosheth heard the knock on his little makeshift hut. He scooted to the door to open it. They asked, "Are you Mephibosheth?" He said in a weak voice, "I am." They said, "The king is looking for you. You're coming to the palace with us." Here, this crippled man, feeling unworthy, washed up, been dropped, but now he's headed to the palace. You may have been through things that weren't fair. Thoughts whisper, "You're not worthy either. Nobody even cares about you." Can I tell you, the king is looking for you. God sent me to knock on your door to let you know he's not going to leave you there. That environment did not change your value. You are still royalty. They dropped you, but it didn't lessen your worth. You are still a masterpiece. You are still destined to do great things. They carried Mephibosheth to the palace. He was afraid, thinking maybe David was going to pay him back for how his grandfather treated him. The big moment finally came. David walked in the room. Mephibosheth fell to the ground. He looked up and said to David, "What do you want with a dead dog like me?" Notice how he saw himself. Not valuable. I don't deserve anything good. I'm crippled. I live in the slums. My grandfather mistreated you. Right when he thought David was going to let him have it, pay him back for all the wrongs, David said, No, Mephibosheth. I didn't bring you here to harm you. I brought you here to bless you. I didn't have my men search you out so I could get revenge. I had them carry you to the palace because I know something about you that others may not know. You are royalty. You are the grandson of the king. You belong here. He went on to say, "From now on, you will live here with me. Every night you will eat dinner at my table, not at the staff's table, but with me. And all the land that belonged to your grandfather, I'm giving it back to you." But how many of us feel like Mephibosheth? We're not worthy. We don't deserve to be blessed. We got dropped. People put us at a disadvantage, or we've made mistakes. Now we're in Lodabar. None of that lessens your value. Mephibosheth felt like a dead dog. You can't get much lower than that. What did God do? Put him in the palace, gave him a seat at the king's table, restored all that belonged to his family. God is going to do the same thing for you. He is not going to leave you at a deficit, at a disadvantage, at a broken place. You're coming out a load of bar. Now get rid of that dead dog mentality, the shame, the guilt. Voices whispering, you're not good enough. You don't measure up. You don't deserve to be blessed. That's the enemy trying to keep you in Lodabar. God sent me with a message. You don't belong there. You are royalty. What's happened in your past has not stopped your future. What God promised you early on, he's still going to do. You may have gotten dropped, but he knows how to pick you up and carry you to the palace. You got stuck in Lodabar. He's looking for you right now. Restoration is coming. Promotion is coming. Healing is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. There's about to be a knock on your door, a shift, a divine connection, a supernatural turnaround. Now get your fire back. No more a dead dog mentality. You belong to the King. You are worthy. You are valuable. You deserve to be blessed, to live a happy, victorious, fulfilled life. I don't know, Joel. I don't think I deserve anything. I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. No, we used to be sinners, but when we gave our life to Christ, we became a new creation. We are no longer sinners. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's why we deserve to be blessed, because of what Jesus did. If you want to make God proud, don't go around with an unworthy, I don't deserve it, dead dog mentality. No, step up to the table. Come into the palace. Believe that you're worthy. Believe that you're valuable. Believe that your Father is a good God, that he takes pleasure in prospering you. But sometimes we think our mistakes have made us unworthy. We made poor choices. We don't deserve anything good. We can't expect God's blessings. But those mistakes didn't change your value. That's what you did. That's not who you are. You are still a child of the Most High. You are still created in his image. But this is when the accuser will work overtime to remind you of everything you've done wrong, how you don't measure up, and you should have been more disciplined. Don't fall into that trap. Shake off the unworthiness. Shake off that guilt and step up to the table. The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. You can't go as a weak worm of the dust. I don't deserve it. I'm so unworthy. I can't do anything right. No, go to God with boldness. God, I know you have made me worthy. I believe you love me. I believe you for me, that you have good things in store. Don't go as a beggar. Go as a believer with confidence, with boldness. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are, a child of Almighty God. Jesus told a parable about a young man that got his inheritance early, and he left home, and his father knew it wasn't a good choice, but the young man wanted his own way. He went out and wasted all of his money partying, making bad choices. He ended up working in a hog pen, got so desperate he had to eat the hog food to survive. He finally decided to go back home, but he felt so unworthy and so undeserving. He said, I'm not going to go back as a son and try to live at the house like I used to. I'm just going to go ask my father if I can be a servant and employee and work like the rest of the staff. He was basing his value on his performance. He performed poorly. He didn't think he was valuable. He headed home. When the father saw him a long way off, the scripture says, the father took off running toward him. That means the father was looking for him. Every day, where's my son? Maybe today he'll come home. Maybe today he'll change his mind. The whole time the son was thinking, he's going to be so upset. He's not going to want to see me. He's going to let me have it. Those are the two voices that come to us all. God's not going to forgive you. Look what you've done. You better stay away. That's the accuser doing what he does best, trying to make you feel unworthy. You have to listen to that still small voice. Come home. You're forgiven. I'm looking for you. His son was dirty, smelled like the hogs, hair not combed. But the father ran and embraced him, gave him a big hug, wouldn't let go, kissed him. The son had his big speech lined up about how undeserving he was. He said in verse 21, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father acted like he didn't hear him, didn't pay it any attention. He said to his staff, quick, go get the best robe and put it on my son. Get some new shoes for his feet. Get the family ring to make sure everyone knows he's my son. And by the way, kill the fatted calf. We're gonna have a party for my son has returned home. But I wonder how many of us are not coming home because we feel unworthy. How many blessings are we missing because we're letting our mistakes hold us back, when in fact, God is looking for us. He's not basing your value on your performance. He knows who you are. But if you don't think you deserve to be blessed, then you'll push blessings away. If you don't think you deserve to be loved, you'll push love away. God is longing to be good to you. His mercy's bigger than any mistakes, but you have to come home. Put your shoulders back. Come boldly to the throne. No more a dead dog mentality. I've had bad breaks. They put me at a disadvantage. They may have dropped you, but they didn't change your value. You are still royalty. Now do your part and receive your worth. Don't try to earn it. Don't live performance-based. Take the pressure off and just receive it. Every day, I am worthy. I am valuable. I am a child of the Most High. If you'll do this, I believe and declare, like Mephibosheth, you're coming out of Lodabar, out of dysfunction, into favor, promotion, victory. God is going to make up for who dropped you and give you back everything that should have been yours. Like the prodigal, despite your mistakes, God has the best robe waiting for you. He's killing the fatty calf right now. There's about to be a party. Mercy is coming, abundance, restoration, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, Lord, I thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood. And Lord, we receive our worth, our value right now from you. Lord, we shake off all the unworthiness, all the low self-esteem. Lord, we're going out of here with our shoulders back, our heads held high, knowing that people don't determine our worth. But Lord, we're going to receive that from you. And just thank you, Lord, like I just declared, that we're all coming out of Lodabar. We're all coming out of the unfair. And Lord, that you'll pay us back, that you'll make the wrongs right. And Lord, I just speak your victory over your people, your protection as they go about their business and to school this week. Lord, thank you that your angels are watching after them. We love you, Lord God, and we thank you for another day to be alive. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question before we leave. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, and you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. You need to come home. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy will always whisper, you know, in your thoughts, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, Today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate, you need to recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Anybody else? Your heart beating fast? Watching, listening? Up top? Well, God bless you. Please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know God saw you take this step of faith. The angels are rejoicing in the heavens right now. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind praying this after me if you would? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing one moment if you don't mind. Let me tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. Also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment for the next year that you're going to be here in person, online, however you do it. For the next year, I'll make a promise. Before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. And I know you're busy. You know, Sunday may be a day off. You could be, you know, doing a lot of other things. But let me tell you, your life goes better when you put God first place. There's a blessing on your life when you get into a community of faith. So I hope you'll take me up on that and get involved here at Lakewood and be a part of the volunteer team as well. Hey, after service, there's a room over here called New Beginnings. If you need anything, stop by, information, prayer, anything you might need. There's classes after service as well. Check out the web. It's online as well. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, April 28th, 2024, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. I told Victoria I didn't think I was going to be able to speak today, but she prayed for me and I could do it. So she said, no, you're going to speak. I thought, you don't feel like I feel my voice anyway, but you know what? God gives you the grace. She had more faith than I did, but you know what? We did it. God is good until we meet again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you his mercy and have favor on you. May the Lord bless you and give you an awesome week. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We love you very much. See you next time.